On Daf Kufei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, you got it. The first Mishnah on Kufei Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah. Got it. So says the Mishnah. Makabel Sad Mechaver. Now, key point to remember over here, Hillel. Key point to remember is that each of these Mishnayos now are either talking about a case of a Kablanos or Chakirus, but not both. What's the difference between Kablanos Chakirus? Let's remind ourselves. Kablanos is
like tradition, like.
Kablanos is sharecropping. What's sharecropping? That you get a percentage of whatever, right, a share of the crop, a percentage of whatever the crop is. What is chakirus? What is that? You get a set amount. I'm going to provide, you give me the right to work your field and produce whatever it produces. I'm going to give you 10 bushels of wheat every month, right? A set amount, whether the field produces a lot or a little. So this Mishnah is about that second kind of arrangement, chakirus. So I am committing that I'm going to give you 10 bushels of wheat for whatever this field produces. So let's say I say, yeah, I'm going to work the field, but I'm not going to weed it afterwards. What's weeding it? What does weed mean? To remove the weeds. The weeds are damaging to the field, so you got to go and get into the ground and rip them up, and it's annoying, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to work the field. It should be no skin off your back. Why?
You're getting what you
get. We agree. 10 bushels a month, you're getting your 10 bushels a month. Don't worry about it. But I just don't want to weed the field. Amar lo, the Bala Sada, the owner could say, the choker says, Ma ichbatlach. What's the big deal to you? Anyway, I'm giving you the 10 bushels, I'm giving you whatever our agreement was. Why should it matter to you? What? So, ein shomen lo, we don't listen to the farmer on this case. Exactly what Clara just said, it's going to matter in the future. Tomorrow, you're going to leave this field and you're going to be left with a giant pile of weeds. No, thank you. Meaning, I'm the owner of this field. You just happen to be working there right now. If you're not going to take the weeds out, then I'm really going to be stuck. So says the Gemara, and what happens if the conversation continues? Let's say he guarantees you against that loss. How could he guarantee you against that loss? If he says, you know what, before I leave, I'll replow the whole field, I'll rip up all the ground, all the weeds will come out. So is that okay then? Can you do it then? So, I amar le lebasar hachi kariv nala. If he says, after I finish harvesting whatever crop there is in the field, I'll replow it and that will get rid of all the weeds, you're not going to be left with a field full of weeds. Amar le chiti mal yasabina. The guy could still say, the owner could still say, I want my field to produce the best kind of wheat, and it can't produce the best kind of wheat when there are still weeds in it. You need to get rid of the weeds before the wheat grows, because if the wheat is competing with the weeds, this is going to get confused. If the wheat is competing with the weeds and for the nourishment from the ground, for the nutrients of the ground, the wheat is not going to be as good, and therefore you cannot do that. Okay, what if he says no problem? I have a different way to take care of that concern. V'yamalei zavinan alachiti mishuka. I'm not going to give you your bushels of wheat from this field. I'll go to the market, I'll find the highest quality wheat, and I'll give you that. I just don't want to weed this field, right? Can I just go to the market, I'll give you the best, better than anything your field ever could have produced anyway. So is that okay? Says the Gemara, Amalei, the owner could say it back to him, Chiti da'arai'i, but you know, no. I want the wheat that comes from my field. I don't want wheat that comes from the market. Isn't that ridiculous, though?
No. And people enjoy their work.
Ah, people enjoy their own stuff better. They enjoy their own, even though it's not even his work, but it's his. You know, when you're there's a certain pride in your own in something that grows in your own property, even if it's not as good. This is similar to what they call the IKEA effect. We've spoken about the IKEA effect. People tend to like their IKEA furniture better than their nicer furniture because you build it yourself. The nicer furniture you order and you pay and someone comes and brings it. Your IKEA furniture, you have to open up the box and read the instructions in like Chinese or something and like and whatever it is and put it all together. So you feel like pride every time you see it. You're like, oh yeah. I made that bookshelf with the upside down shelf in the backwards. You know, like even if you did, right, you feel like a certain sense of pride. The amale, and if the choker, the farmer says, "Man kishna lach shir minaseich." Okay, he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. You're supposed to get 10 bushels of wheat every month, right? I will weed, I will remove the weeds from the section of the field that produces 10 bushels a month. So you don't have to worry. You will get from your field, you can get exactly the quality you want. I just don't want to weed the rest of the field that I'm going to get. What? But no, but then I'll plow it before I leave. So Amarle, the owner could say, Kamansavat Shemra Larai. No, because then everyone's going to say I have a lousy field. Meaning all my neighbors are going to see that my field is growing weeds all over it. They're not going to realize that it's only the sections that aren't important to me that are growing weeds all over it. So it says the Gemara, but Vatna and Shamala Slafanaya Safim. Says the Mishnah, aren't you adding a lot to, says the Gemara, aren't you adding a lot to what the Mishnah said? The Mishnah said that the guy's whole taina, the reason the owner can say you must weed the field is because it's going to, I don't want to be left with a field full of weeds. And now you're adding all this in, you're saying, oh no, that's not what it's about. It's about my reputation, it's about enjoying from what comes from my field. That's not what it said in the Mishnah. Elam Yishum Da'amarlei Bizarra D'Nafal Nafal. Really, the main taina of the owner of the field is because it's going to grow weeds, like the Mishnah says. When the Gemara explains that, and the Gemara is just trying to explain that that taina will always be there. That there's no way for the worker to say that I'll get around that problem by plowing after the harvesting and I'll fix whatever problems are, because the Bala Sada could say to the worker, seeds of the weeds that fall in the field have already fallen and they're going to cause new weeds to grow, meaning it's just going to get out of control. You ever have like ivy or whatever? It's just, once you let it grow, it just grows. So you're going to have long-term problems. And that's the real title. So main point over here, the main point from Mishnah to Mishnah is that if a choker wants to get out of having to weed, the owner always wins, right? The owner can always force him to take the weeds out, to remove the weeds from the field.
When Mark said that he went to a checkup or something, just weed only with your car, usually Mark is saying the same thing, that in future years, now that you're in less nutrients,
if he wants to get out of
soil, like, you didn't weed.
He can't.
Yes, I don't know the metzius of farming. Maybe it doesn't take
much.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. Maybe once you plow it, I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, now we are going to leave the area of a choker, and we're going to go back into an aris of kablanos. What's that? What's an aris? A sharecropper. What's a sharecropper, Dovi? What happens? That I'm going to work in the field, and you'll get X percentage of what it produces. So a person becomes a sharecropper in his friend's field. Lo asasa, and the field isn't producing anything. It's producing very, very little. And it doesn't seem that it's worth the bother to work the field anymore. It's just not, it's barely producing anything. So he doesn't want to work on it anymore. Now, the owner of the field is only getting a percentage of what it's producing. So if you stop working on it, the owner of the field is going to get nothing. But right now, it's so little, it's not even worth your time. So im yesh ba kedei lahamid kri, if you could make a pile of grain from each harvest, chayiv, you got to keep working on it. Chayiv l'tapel ba, you have to keep working on it. Amrav Yehuda, so by the, what should be your question right now? If it can make a pile from each harvest, then you got to keep working on it. How much is a pile? I mean, there are little piles, medium-sized piles, big piles, giant piles. Right? How big does a pile have to be? So the Gemara is going to deal with that. But it's that's got to be something that bothers you, right? If it's big enough to make a pile, what does that mean? Okay, but if it's big enough to make a pile, then you have to keep working. I'm Rav Yehuda, my kitzva b'kri. Rav Yehuda says, even assuming you know how big a pile is, shouldn't it depend on the size of the field? How can we just say, no matter what field it is, if it can make a pile, you got to work in it? What if the field is the size of the state of Texas? If you work the entire state of Texas and you can produce one pile, that's the same as a field that's the size of my backyard and can produce one pile. I got to work the entire Texas for one pile the same way I would have to work my backyard for one pile. That doesn't make any sense. How could it be the same regardless of the size of the field? Ela im yesh b'kidei nefila. Now what it means is that if there's enough, if it's able to produce enough that you can replant in that field from the seeds that came out of it this year, then you have to keep working in it. Meaning, you harvest this year's crop. If it produces enough to at least do the planting for next year's crop, then it's good enough. Then you have to keep working in it. But if it doesn't even produce enough to replant, replant the field, then you don't have to work in it anymore. Then you're off the hook from having to work in it. That is the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan. So the Braisa just elaborates on that. The Braisa gives us some more details. But it says the same thing as the Mishnah. Makabel sada mechavero, you become a sharecropper. Velo asasa. What does velo asasa mean? It's not producing. It's not working. Im yesh bakadei lahamid kri chayiv. If what? It can make a whole pile, then you got to keep working. Chayiv l'tapel ba. You have to keep working. Why? Shekach kosev lo. Because in the standard agreement between a sharecropper and a sharecroppee, the standard agreement says, Ana okim va'onir va'ezra va'echtzod va'amir va'adush va'idri va'okim karya kadamach. The standard arrangement says that I will. That I will plow the field, I will plant the field, I will harvest the field, I will pile the grain in the field, I will thresh the field. He goes through all the lamitas machzor shabbos. I will do all of it in the field. And v'okim karya kadamach, and I will gather a pile for you. V'tesi ant v'titol palga, and then you will come to that pile and you will take half of that pile. Va'ana ba'amali ubenafkus yadi, and I, because of amali, what's amali? My work, my toil, and because of the expense of my work, palga, I will take the other half. So that is the deal, and in that arrangement, it's expressed explicitly that what's expressed in that arrangement, that there is a pile. So only if there is a pile do I have to do this. So now the Braisa asks the question that's been bothering us. The Kama Kedei Lahamid Bakri. How big a pile is a pile? What does that mean? It has to produce a pile. Om Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Kedei Shetamud Bo Harachas. That you could put the pitchfork in the pile and it won't tip over. Right? You know, if you have a pile or something, you stick the pitchfork in it and it will just stand up straight. So if it's sturdy enough, you have a big enough pile that will hold. I mean, if your pile is just like this, it's like an inch off the ground, you stick the pitchfork in and it'll just topple right over. So we're assuming there's a standard size for pitchforks, I guess. Right? So it has to be big enough to hold the pitchfork.
Like Lamaiso, if you put like a rake in a pile, is that
right? I meant a rake, that's what I meant, right? Pitchfork, rake, same thing, right?
You put it in leaves. But the leaves go all over the place. Is that like what you consider?
If it stands up straight. It stands up straight. So it says where Ibayilu. They raised the following question. Rachas hayotze mahaygisa lahaygisa. What if the pitchfork goes from one side to the other side? That the two sides of the pitchfork come out of the pile are visible on the right and the left side. So it's standing, but it's like such a narrow pile that the pitchfork is actually wider than the pile itself. So you actually see the sides of the pitchfork on the sides of the pile. So my, what's the din? Is that considered a big enough pile or not? What? Because maybe we're assuming that the pile has to be big enough that you can stick a pitchfork into it and, you know, bury the pitchfork in there. So my, what's the din? Tashimadik Marsas Ring Raya. Am Rabbi Avali, Didim Farshali Minaid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Says, I heard Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina explain, Kol She'im Kones Shalo Roa Pnei Acham, that so long as the wide part of the pile is not visible to the sun, what does that mean? That meaning it has to be completely enclosed. It can't be visible to the sun. It has to be completely enclosed. We stick the pitchfork in, the pile has to be big enough to cover the pitchfork on all sides. So, what? And if you put it in the side? No, I think you stand, I think it means, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it means you're standing up straight, but the wide, you know, thing, what do they call the prongs, right, are completely covered in the pile. I think that's what it means. I'm not sure, but I think that's what it means. So, okay, how big is a pile that Tanakhama says that you have to keep working in the field? Itmar. Levi Amar Shalosh Se'in. Let's quantify it. You know, we're using these terms that we don't know. A pitchfork, big enough to hold a pitchfork. I don't know how big their pitchforks were. So let's use, like, actual measuring, you know, actual measurements. So Levi says 3 sa'ah of grain. Debe Rabbi Yane Amri Sasayim. 2 sa'ah of grain. Reish Lakish, Sasayim Shamru, Chutz Min Hotzaah. Reish Lakish says, when we say two saw of grain, that means after you subtract the expense that the sharecropper had to work the field. So he could take out whatever the costs were for him to work the field, and then if you're left with a pile that's two saw of grain, that's considered big enough. Now, once we quoted the shear of the pile to be chayiv, for the aris to be chayiv, we're going to bring another mishnah where we're going to have to also quantify a particular shear, but nothing really to do with this topic. So let's make a main point over here. So the brisa tells us, well, do we want another mishnah even? No, let's do it all together, right? If you are a sharecropper and the field is not producing up to par, you can only stop working if the field produces less than what could hold a rake, right? What could hold the rake? Less than what could entirely engulf and hold a rake. So if you are a sharecropper, you're working a field and it's not producing what you want it to, you can only stop working if it produces less than the size of a pile that could hold a rake. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah Maseches Uktzin. Maseches Uktzin, the third paragraph of Maseches Uktzin reads as follows: Pritzei Zeisim v'anavim beishamay mitam besil mitari. So Pritzei Zeisim and anavim. What are Zeisim? Olives. What are anavim?
Grapes.
What are Pritzim? We don't know. Says the Gemara, my Pritzei Zeisim. What does that mean? Amar Rav Huna, Rishei Zeisim. It means the olives that don't do what they're supposed to do. They're Rishayim. They're not growing delicious. They're growing like unripened and really gross. So that's why Beis Hillel says that they're tahar. They're not considered a food. A food could be mekabel tumah, but these are gross. So I'm Rav Yosef in my crow. Where do you find that the word paritz is used to describe a rasha? Because the pasuk says in Daniel, Ubnei pritzei amcha yinasu lahamid chazon v'nechshalu. So you see that pritzei amcha means the rishayim. Rav Nachum Yitzchak Rav Mehecha, different pasuk, v'holid ben paritz shofech dam. It says that a child who's a paritz murderer will be born. Murderers typically are bad, right? So paritz means bad. Vikama, but the key point over here is vikama pritzei zesim. How many are considered? What's the shear that it's considered pritzei zesim? Rav Lazar Amar arba'as kavim, that if it only produces four kav of oil when you lakora, when you put it in the olive press, that's really awful zesim. Those are pritzei zesim. Tiber Rav Yani Amri sasayim lakora. If it produces two sa'a of oil when you put it in the olive press, that's pritzei zeisim. That's really awful. V'lo pligi haba asa d'mayli kara ba'ula haba asa d'mayli tlasa karan ba'ula. And they're not really arguing with each other. One is talking about a case where they put the olives under the press a core at a time, which is 30 sa'a at a time, and the other is talking about where they put it in three core at a time, which is 90 sa'a at a time. So depending on obviously how many olives you put in, you have a different expectation of what? Of how much oil it's going to produce. So that's the that accounts for the difference. We'll stop there. We'll pick up a ton of Rabbanan on Monday.